You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 2:08 PM. It is Monday, March the 28th. First one, Ukraine, what now, what next? And having somebody on from the National Security Council, I got to tell you, it's amazing to watch a world events right now. Really. Crazy, really. Wars and rumors of wars and efforts to stay out of wars and yet to win wars and how to support without actually supporting and when is it too much or too little? Are we feckless or reckless? Well, let me just do this. Let me give you a broad brush view of a real set of events and see if you can pinpoint it, all right? Tell me if this sounds familiar. One sovereign nation with a checkered past and known to have issues of corruption but nonetheless on generally friendly terms with the U.S. And that nation is emerging as a source of world economics and, to some degree, military strength. They're a generally large nation. In fact, one of the largest in their region. But then world events come to a head and that part of the world begins to descend into a dark place precipitated by a neighbor to the east with imperialistic ambitions. A neighbor to the east that intends to regain its status as a feared military power and an economic powerhouse. And that nation to the east has an economy that is somewhat stymied and landlocked. That nation to the east becomes aggressive, and leaders in Washington and other Western capitals are fearful of provoking it by spending too much of their economic and political capital opposing that aggressive posturing of the nation to the east. Meanwhile, the first country that I mentioned, the one that's up and coming, the one that's trying to emerge into a first world status, finds itself in the crosshairs of its aggressive land-grabbing neighbor to the east. Sound familiar? That first country calls on the world to take notice, to take issue, to take arms. But the majority of the world does not feel that there's a true national interest that would draw them into what appears to be a regional matter, and then the neighbor to the east invades. And they don't just invade, they seem intent on destroying a culture. The atrocities visited upon the first nation by the eastern nation are horrendous. Whole towns and villages razed, humanitarian suffering, refugees, and war crimes of a type and nature not seen in lifetimes. But the first nation did not give in. They did not go quietly into the night. They fought with their far more limited capacity, but with an intensity that comes from fighting for one's own home. And in the course of doing so, they again turned to the West and asked for help, and specifically they asked for war planes. You heard me. War planes. Because their enemy from the East had initiated a bombing campaign that could only be stopped if the West would provide the means to defeat air superiority of the invaders. But the West was reluctant, at least at first. Okay, at first, Phil, aren't we talking about Ukraine? We haven't given them the MiG-29s. You're talking like we have. Have we? And yes, it might sound a lot like I just described Ukraine and its ongoing war with an aggressive and invading imperialistic Russian neighbor to the East, but I'm not. What I just described to you was the events of the late 30s and early 40s when Japan invaded China. You just do a Google search of what's been known now as the Rape of Nanking, and you'll see it firsthand what a monstrous set of events was wrought upon the Chinese people of that time. But here's where that story, the China-Japan conflict, got really interesting. They did receive the warplanes they sought back then. In 1939, then U.S. Army Colonel and later General Claire Chennault, he was advising the beleaguered fighting force of Chiang Kai-shek against the onslaught of the invading Japanese Imperial Army. Chennault had an idea, and by sheer force of personality and perfect timing, he went to D.C. and he met with everyone from President Roosevelt and General George Marshall and the Secretary of War and on and on and on, and he secured the approval for an all-volunteer Air Force. Secretly, or not so secretly perhaps, over 100 pilots and several hundred support personnel from mechanics to cooks to clerks were recruited from the Army and the Marines and the Navy and the private sector. And all these men, along with 100 state-of-the-art Curtiss-Wright P-40 Warhawk fighter planes, made their way to China where they were rebranded and reflagged. They were known to the world as the All-Volunteer Group. Not really an imaginative name when you get down to it. But the All-Volunteer Group, or AVG as they became known, actually didn't fly for the U.S. They flew for China, with markings on the wings of their planes of the Chinese Air Force. And they not only flew combat missions very effectively, they also trained Chinese pilots and they became an integrated fighting force. 14 American pilots died fighting the Japanese before Pearl Harbor because they were technically sanctioned mercenaries working and training and flying and fighting alongside of people whose very way of life was at stake. So you may not have heard of the AVG, but you probably have heard of them by their nickname, the Flying Tigers. They were named for the fact that they painted an aggressive mouth with bared teeth along both sides of the nose of their airplane. They were rowdy, they were proud, they were on a mission. They came from 39 different states, and they ranged in ages from kids with fuzzy chins to middle-aged family men. Some were in debt, they just signed up for the money. But most were attracted by the adventure and were willing to go all in against an enemy that much of the world was avoiding, and yet all of them agreed was everyone's future problem if it did not get put in check right away. The China-Burma-India Theater in World War II became the stuff of legends in the military. Organizations like the 5307th Provisional, which was otherwise known as Merrill's Marauders, and the group I just told you about, the Flying Tigers, they captured a lot of attention in the newsreels of the day. But it all started when the National Command Authority of the day decided that while it could not just declare war, that it could allow a lethal foreign aid of warplanes and a sanctioned leave of absence from existing military duty. And in order to send the warplanes and volunteer pilots to a foreign country to help them head off the invasion of an overly aggressive imperialistic neighbor to the east, they formed the AVG. If it sounds familiar, well, there's nothing new under the sun, like Solomon says. And I'm not privy to all the deliberations at the National Security Council. I don't set national policy. But I do study history and I do pay attention to my times. And it wasn't so very long ago, in the historical sense, that when a call for warplanes to stop an aggressive invader came from a beleaguered nation, that we got creative. And with a wink and a nod, we gave them what they needed to fight their own fight. The only thing left to figure out now is whether or not history will repeat itself in Ukraine. The Flying Tigers. That's some bona fide history, y'all. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I decided to go history today. You know, it does touch on policy, and it's amazing when you look at the similarities. I bet some of you thought while I was doing that I was describing the current events in Ukraine. I've got a proof checker who reads my monologues every single day here at the studio, and she said literally it sucked her in. She thought that she was reading about Ukraine. Well, that was the intent. But it was designed to show you we've sort of been here before, if you know what I mean. And when there's a will, there's a way. When there's a desire to help, there's a means to help. Sometimes it involves getting creative. I don't know if we're going to wind up sending those MiG-29s, but I'm going to tell you right now, by God, there's an opportunity if they want it. The Flying Tigers proved it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.